Good evening. Before we get into that passage, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we pray that you would open this passage up to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So my wife and I have been moving the last few days, and the topic of hoarding has come up. You know, when people collect stuff and they can't throw it out, you might have one in your family, a hoarder. There's usually at least one in every family. Everyone knows one. And I was talking to my wife to try and get an opening illustration for this sermon. And I was asking if we could use someone from the family as an example, as a hoarder, because we have a few in our family. And she said that wouldn't be appropriate. So then she said, you're a hoarder. And you hoard books. That's what she said to me. Because as we're moving, I've just got boxes upon boxes. And my mum's place is, I've got a whole room in her place that's full of books as well. So I had to swallow my pride and admit that I actually am a hoarder. But at least books are valuable, right? We've got this eccentric neighbor. Well, we did have one, and he was a hoarder. His stuff almost flowed out onto the footpath. And on his stairs, he's got these bottles that have some suspicious yellow liquid in them lined up his stairs, and that's what he collects. They say one man's trash is another man's treasure. So tonight in this passage, Jesus shows us that we're actually all hoarders. Not in our homes, but in our hearts. Our homes on the inside. And we'll find out that there's only two kinds of treasure that people hoard, and they're radically different. So tonight I want to take you on a treasure hunt, and I want us to just really focus on verses 19 to 20. Because we'll dig in and find that everyone's got treasure buried in their heart. And where it comes from depends where you're going, where you'll end up. So the first treasure is treasure on earth. Notice in verse 19, Jesus says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." So Jesus has just finished teaching his disciples that we've got to seek God's praise rather than the world's. And now he's saying we've got to seek God rather than the things of the world. So Jesus says, don't bury your treasure on earth. You might be thinking, bury treasure? What are you talking about, mate? I don't sail a ship and wear an eye patch. And my name isn't Long John Silver. What does buried treasure have to do with me? Well, I don't think Jesus is talking about pirates and treasure chests. Because remember, Jesus' way is about the heart, isn't it? That's what he's been teaching his disciples about in the Sermon on the Mount. And he's been teaching us. It all starts with the heart. Jesus knows this because he can actually see our hearts. He sees straight through us. I remember back in chapter 4, he said murder starts in your heart. Adultery starts in your heart. Loving others comes from the heart. Giving comes from the heart. Prayer comes from the heart. Fasting is from the heart. It's all about the inside, isn't it? So Jesus is contrasting two ways in the Sermon on the Mount. He's contrasting the way of the Pharisees, which is all about keeping up appearances, and his way, which is about the heart. He cares about the heart. So that's why he says in this verse, don't hoard treasure from this world. He can see our hearts. And I reckon it will be helpful if we think about our hearts as having little hands that grab onto stuff. And they go around and grab onto stuff and hold onto it. And Jesus is saying, don't let your heart hands latch onto anything from this world. So what exactly is this treasure that Jesus is talking about here? Well, if you treasure something, you love it, don't you? You set your heart on it. It's the thing that you value above everything else. The things we live for. Your treasure controls you because you care so much about it. Your treasure is anything so central to your life that it's the most important thing to you. It's the thing you think about. It absorbs you. It's so central to your life that if you lost it, your life wouldn't be worth living. Remember Gollum from Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. If you've seen the movie or read the book, you'll know what Gollum's treasure was. It was the ring, wasn't it? He was obsessed with that thing. He became so consumed with the ring that it consumed his whole person. It turned him into a monster. It becomes his precious. I'm not going to do an impersonation of Gollum. The ring, he sits with the ring and it talks with him. It tells him what to do. It tells him how to be. It tells him where to go. And when he loses it, he loses his mind. It consumed him to the point where he couldn't live without it. And this doesn't just happen on Middle Earth. It happens in real life. In 2008, when the global financial crisis hit, there was a tragic string of suicides among the leaders of the biggest corporations in the world. Chief executives and financial officers and money managers lost millions, and in turn, they didn't think life was worth living. That's tragic, isn't it? Their hearts had latched on so tightly to money that when they lost it, they couldn't live without it. And that's why Jesus gives us this warning. Don't bury your treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He's saying don't bank on the things of this world because they don't last, do they? You can lose it all in the drop of a hat. What do they say? Money is round and it rolls away. But it's the same with everything else from the world, isn't it? It's here one day and gone the next. Your favorite shirt can get holes in it. Your new car will eventually rust. Your phone might get stolen at any moment. You could lose your job, your physical health, your hair, even your family. It happens to people every day, doesn't it? No wonder Jesus talks about anxiety straight after this in verses 25 to the end of the chapter, 24. Because, you know, if your treasure is on earth, it could vanish at any time. So what are you living for? This world? Is your treasure on earth? You know, the Bible actually calls this idolatry. It's got a word for this. Anything we love more than God has become our idol. I don't know about you, but when I think of an idol, I think of gold statues and incense. But the Bible says, God says in the Bible that these men have set up idols in their hearts. So, Martin Luther said the human heart is an idol factory. The human heart, it takes good things like successful career, love, material possessions, even family, and turns them into idols. Even Christian ministry can become an idol. Tim Keller, he's great on this stuff. If you want to dig more into this, he's got a book called Counterfeit Gods that I recommend. He's got a quote in there. He gives an example of idolatry and he says, physical beauty is a pleasant thing, but if it becomes your idol, it becomes your life. becomes the most important thing to you, then you have Aphrodite, not just beauty. So you can know your idol by what gives you your sense of value and worth. For some people, it's beauty. But whatever it is, that's your treasure. That's your God. And if it's not the God of the Bible, you're seeking your treasure on earth. You're seeking your treasure in a trash can rather than going to the ultimate source of goodness, which is God. And you'll never be happy because you're going to all the wrong places. It's like thirsting and going to drink out of the sea. What happens? You just keep getting thirstier and thirstier, don't you? You know, only God can give us what we truly need because He made us. You've probably heard this quote from Augustine. It says, he says, "We were made for you, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And that's why God gives us the first commandment. He says, "I am the Lord your God. Do not have other gods besides me." And he's not saying this because he wants to ruin our fun. He's not because he's a cosmic party pooper, but because he loves us and wants to protect us. God hates idolatry, not because he's greedy for worship, but because he doesn't want us to turn out like Gollum. He gets jealous for us because he wants to protect us. He loves us. Not because he's a controlling tyrant, but because he loves us. Think of a husband and a wife. It would be bizarre if a wife was openly flirting with other men and the husband didn't care. That'd be bizarre, wouldn't it? That wouldn't be love. It would be indifference. Our love is passionate for the other. And that's what we see in God. He's got a burning passion for his people. He wants to protect his people. And that's what we see when we read the Old Testament. Idolatry makes God furious. It makes God furious. There's a story in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. God has just given Israel the promised land, and they're on a winning streak and the surrounding nation with the surrounding nations, but suddenly they lose a battle against Ai, the nation. And it's all because this bloke named Achan, he took some forbidden treasure and buried it in his tent. And it says the Lord's anger burned against all of Israel for this. And Achan, he ends up confessing to Joshua, and he says, "It's true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. When I saw these spoils, the beautiful cloak from Babylon, 5 pounds of silver and a bar of gold, I coveted them and took them." And he shows Joshua the buried treasure in his tent, and the judgment of God falls upon him. Achan, what an idiot, right? He was an Israelite. They were the least of all people, and God had delivered them. God loved them. They were his treasure. He delivered them from slavery and from all their enemies. He gave them the promised land. You're full of milk and honey. And Achan disobeys God for a new jacket and a couple of $100. What was he thinking, right? But what about us? Who are we kidding? Don't we do exactly the same thing? Don't we also set our hearts on things besides God? I know I do. And it's even worse for Christians, if you think about it, because we live in a time of the new covenant. God has given us better promises. God's goodness is more clearly shown to us in Jesus. His love is more clearly seen in Jesus, and His grace is overflowing to us in Jesus. Yet we still hoard treasure from this world. And just like God saw straight through Achan's tent, He sees straight through our hearts. That means we all deserve the same thing as Achan. But for us, it's different. God is a God of mercy. He's the God of all grace. If we come clean to Him, it says in the Bible, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's because we have a perfect Savior who let go of all His treasure in heaven and came down to earth for us. For us and for our sakes He came. He became poor for our sakes. The Son of God became the Son of Man. And His heart, Jesus' heart, was set upon doing God's will all the time. He never coveted. He never sinned. And when the devil, do you remember when the devil tempted Him? And he tempted Him with all the riches in the world. And Jesus rebuked him. And went to the cross, didn't he? He kept going to the cross to take our sin. And the just suffered for the unjust to bring us back to God. Back into relationship with a God that we had abandoned. And you know, this is how you get your treasure redirected from earth to heaven. It's only when you understand the gospel that you can have your love redirected. It's only when you realize that just how much God has done for you in Christ, that's when your love goes heavenward. You know, our hearts need something to cling to, don't they? That's why Jesus says in verse 20, He says, store up for yourselves things in heaven. We all need something to love. We all need somebody to love. That's how we're made. We're not Stoics. We can't just cut off our loves and not want anything from this world. We need something to set our desires on. Sermon's not finished until you quote a Puritan. So I've got one here. Thomas Chalmers. He had this in mind when he wrote, The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. And he said, by yourself, you can't change what you love. You need a higher object, something more beautiful, a greater treasure. And he gives this example. He says, a young person, a youth, can stop idolizing pleasure, but only because the idol of wealth has taken over. And he says, even money can stop mastering the heart because something greater comes along. Power, the love of power. See, he's saying you need something greater to replace your object of love. And Chalmers said that the only way to get rid of your idol is the expulsive power of a new affection. And he comes to the conclusion that there's only one way to stop loving the world, and that's to love Him who's greater than the world, Jesus. Do you know that old hymn that goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You know, you can't access the treasure without Him. Because He is the treasure. Another Puritan said, without Christ, there would be no heaven. See, there's no point in seeking anything good outside of Jesus, because it all resides in Him. Jesus is the treasure. It says that in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Have you seen the light of the gospel? Have you seen the glory of Christ? It's only in the face of Jesus that we see God's glory shine. Have you seen it? No, only then will your treasure be in heaven. You know, only then will you be able to say, with the Apostle Paul, he says that everything that was a gain to me, I consider it to be a loss because of Christ. See, here's a man. Here's a man who's found his treasure. His treasure's in heaven. But he doesn't stop there. He says, more than that, I consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Here's a man who's found his treasure. He knows what he loves and where he's going. What about you? What do you value? What are your goals? That's one way to find out where your treasure is. Are they all on earth? You hear a lot of people talking about values and goals. They say, I value dedication and commitment, belief in others and vision. And my goals are to buy a house, to have financial freedom, to be happy and to travel the world. But look what Paul valued, knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. And look at his goal, pressing onwards toward my goal, the heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. His treasure is in heaven. That's radically different from this world, isn't it? And that's how you can know your treasure is in heaven. So friends, where is your treasure? Is it on earth or is it in heaven? And that's how you can know where you're going as well. You can know where you're heading by what you love. Because look what Jesus says in verse 21. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying, the heart follows the treasure. Like the thread that follows the needle, like the sunflower that follows the sun. To quote Augustine again, he said, you are what you love. You know, if you love the world, you'll become like the world. If you love money, you'll become a miser. If you love power, you'll become a tyrant. If you love pleasure, you'll become a hedonist. You know, and God giving us our greatest desires can actually be a disaster. It is a disaster. Just read Romans 1. There's a picture of it there. You see, idols are cruel masters. You're destined to turn out like Gollum if you worship a false god. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want that. Some people think Gollum's cute, but I don't. Maybe they just feel sorry for him because he was helpless, wasn't he? Because the love of the ring turned him into a monster. You see, why does this all matter? It matters because the Bible says, if you love the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. If you love this world more than Jesus, you should ask yourself if you're even a Christian. And if you're not a Christian and you're sitting here, you need to seriously consider this. You need to think about where you'll end up. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's where you'll stay. You'll either be stuck serving a false god forever, which leads to hell, or you can have the Lord Jesus as your treasure and be led by him into heaven. Jesus says to us, you can either have your treasure on earth that never lasts and is corrupted, or you can have your treasure in heaven, an inheritance that is incorruptible, an inheritance that is kept for you in heaven, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. That seems like a no-brainer. So let's pray. Our Lord, we pray you would continue to show us where our treasure is, if it's on earth or in heaven with you. Help us to turn from our idols and cling to the Lord Jesus, who is of more worth than anything on earth or in heaven. In his name, amen.